Father, we just thank you as we go into this last session that you will come and speak to us. Just come, Holy Spirit. Amen. What I felt to speak this session is about faith and finances. How to survive in the recession. And I'm just going to share with you a little bit. My time is very short because I want us to have some time of worship afterwards. But I'm going to share with you a little bit out of my own life, a path that I've walked. So I'm not talking some theories today with you. I'm talking to you about things that is part of my life. I've been a full-time missionary for the past 20 years, where I'm without a salary. Whatever I do, I have to trust God. I've never gone hungry. There's times that I thought maybe we're going to go hungry. There was times that I thought I'm going to go to prison because I couldn't pay what I had to pay. But every time, God came through. Now in the Bible, we have a little bit of a ringing. In the Bible, God challenged the people of Israel to give tithes and offerings and first fruits. Why do you think God did that? What was the purpose that God challenged his people to give? Somebody want to take a guess? Or yes? So they learned to trust him. So whatever we have actually comes from God. You see, so in the beginning, there in the Old Testament, God told the guys, listen, when you work on this land, or when you have cows, or when you have whatever, the first fruits come to God. Now, they could think, I worked so hard on this land, and I did this and this, and therefore, that's why I have what I have. How many verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, do you think talks about salvation? 10, 20, 30. There are 215 verses in the New Testament that talks about salvation. 218 verses talks about faith. But finances is not spoken about a lot in the New Testament. Is it? Take a wild guess. How many verses in the New Testament talks about money, wealth, stewardship? Oh, somebody taught you well. 2,084 verses in the New Testament. That's nearly 10 times as many verses about faith and salvation. Now, when you hear someone talk about something over and over again, what does that mean? What is for that person? It's important. Now, Jesus and the apostles talked over and over again about finances and wealth and stewardship. Why? What do you think? What does that show in our lives? Matthew 6 verse 21. Where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, Paul challenged them. Paul says, the love of money is the root of some little evil. All. Now, let me ask you this. I've got different currencies here in my wallet. Let's see what's a nice one. Here's a 50. This is probably more than 500 from Hong Kong. Okay, so is this good or is this bad? It's neither. This is a piece of paper printed by the Reserve Bank or the Federal Bank. I don't know what they call it in Hong Kong. What do they call it in Hong Kong? The bank, okay? The bank.
Now, they save, they have certain things in it, and there's certain watermarks and whatever it is. They guarantee that if you buy something or go in a transaction, they will back that up if it's on the right piece of paper. The problem is if this becomes your boss. And the sad thing is today, so many of us are slaves to this. Everything is just to serve this. Now we need this. For us to fly here, we need quite a lot of these. I need it under my feet. It needs to serve me, but not me serving it. And that's the difference. I mean, I know some of you here are from the States, and you don't need to be a brain surgeon or a whatever very clever person to work out that the States is getting into big trouble. Because they're spending more than what they're making. And any time something like that happens, when you spend more than what you make, guess what? Somewhere it cannot go on. It has to fall out. Someone is going to pay the price. I mean, it's amazing how Barack could, in 9 months, triple the, what do you call, deficit. It was, I think, last year $700 billion, and it's now nearly $2 trillion. In just 9 months. And they're spending. Now, what are they spending? Money that is not there. Somebody's going to pay for this. I don't know who.
China.
China, yeah. It's true. I mean, they say already that the Western countries, the East, China, Japan, Korea, and many of the Asian countries actually owe. If all these countries today say, today we want all our money back, those countries will be finished. And what happened in any situation where you owe money to somebody, guess what? You become their slave. The Bible teaches that. In the book of Deuteronomy, it actually teaches you even when, how to borrow money and how not to borrow money. It's quite strict. It says there, when you borrow money, it needs to be 7 years that you must be able to pay it back. By the 7th year, you can become a slave of the person you borrowed money from if you didn't. There's a whole thing there, how they work it and so on. But you see, the system today entrap us. And people just, I mean, it's so easy getting credit cards. I'm a missionary. I don't get a salary. I can go on my credit card so high that the banks will be shocked when, if they just know. Now, I mean, because I travel a lot and so on, they think I'm a rich man. But I'm not. I don't get even a salary. So sometimes they just let people, I mean, even students, I've seen where they give them 2, 3, 4 credit cards. So these kids can go on so much debt that they can actually, they'll have to work for the rest of their lives just to pay their credit cards. That's a sad thing. If I go to America, many of the young people there, all they do a lot of works. I mean, they some of them 2, 3 works, but all they do is just service their credit cards and they spend more because they want more, so they spend more, and it's a terrible, terrible cycle. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. You can open your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Just want to read verse 6 again. Remember this. Whoever sows little will reap little. Whoever sows a lot, or generously as this translation say, will reap a lot. I thank God that He taught me this scripture when I was in my last years of high school. A friend of mine was teaching this, and he said to me, "Stefan, you are not too young. Start to give now." You know what? It became a lifestyle. It's still a lifestyle today that I'm living by. I was 19 years old when I gave away my first car. Now, I'm going to share with you a little bit. Now, time is short, so my stories I have to cut very short. I've got amazing stories of miracles of God and God's provision. But I was 19 years old. My dad helped me. I had a VW van, one of these combis. I don't know what you call it here, but it's like a VW van. My dad helped me to build this up. I was very proud of this VW van. And a missionary came to our town where I was a student. And God said to me, "He needs it more than you." And that was my first car I gave away. Now, since then, I've given away many cars. I think I've given away 6 cars. It's a lifestyle. Trudy and myself, now, just maybe a quick story I want to tell you. After school, my parents were YWAMers. They didn't have a lot of money. And so I wanted to go to university. But my parents didn't have money for that. But I got a scholarship from the government because my marks were good. And how it worked at that stage, if you go to the university, you don't have to pay them back, but you just have to work for the amount of years that they pay for you. So I studied 5 years, 2 different universities. That meant I had to work 5 years for the government. After 2 years, I felt God said, "It's time to become a missionary and go to YWAM," the place I said I'll never go to. Never say never to God. So I said, "Okay, God." And then I thought, no, man, God, these people in YWAM are crazy. You know, when you join YWAM, they don't pay you, you pay them. Can you believe anybody in their right mind will do that? So I knew this because my parents went through that and I saw some of the challenges and the suffering and everything. I said, "God, what are we going to do?" And now 3 months prior to that, Trudy and myself were married then. 3 months prior to this, what I felt God said, we bought a house. Not with our own money. I borrowed all the money, 100% of the loan from the bank. You see, when you work for the government, it's easy to borrow money because they know. The bank knows, we just take it. My check was just much smaller. And so what happened was, I said, "God, what can we do?" And I thought maybe I should try to sell my house. I also realized if I really go to YWAM, I have to break contract and I need to find out how much I have to pay. I phoned the government and they told me, they look on their files and they said, I owe them, at that stage, it was in our money, $20,000. Now, that sounds like very little today. At that stage, $20,000, my dream car was the top of the range Toyota, RXI with all the bells and whistles and whatever. $20,000 cash, you'll buy a Toyota like that. Today, I don't know what it cost here in Hong Kong. In our country, it's about $200,000. And so, in today's money, what I owe the government was about $200,000 Hong Kong dollars. What is the top of the range Toyota? Not the 4x4s. I mean, I'm talking the sedan, the... I don't know what's the... Say again? What will the price be here? 30. 25, yeah. So it's about 200,000 Hong Kong. Any case... So that's just to tell you how much I owe the government. We prayed and we're thinking, what are we going to do? I phoned YWAM. Now, because I knew the people in YWAM, because I grew up, it was easy. I spoke to them. They said, "Stefan, just fax this stuff for your wife and yourself and you can come. It sounds it's a done deal." I'm okay. So I'm praying, "God, what are we going to do about the money and the house?" That day in my postbox, there was a card from a state agent. I phoned her. She came and looked at my house. And she said, "If I find someone, can I bring them?" I said, "Sure." So, now, my friends actually discouraged me. They said, "Stefan, you're crazy. You just bought this house 3 months ago. This is a terrible time. Don't sell your house. Remember, when you bought the house, you paid lawyers' fees, you paid the government taxes, you pay the agent some commission. So, actually, you're going to lose money." I mean, what did I know about this? So, the estate agent, the lady came, she looked at it, and I said, "Okay, you can bring somebody." That night, she brought a couple. We're sitting watching TV. The next moment, there's a knock on the door. I go and I said, can we look at the house? I said, sure. They walked through the house and I heard the couple said, we take it. I said, excuse me? The lady already had papers, everything drawn up. She said, sir, here's the pen. Just sign there on the dotted line. And I took it and found myself signing. And they walk in. I thought, oh my goodness, what did you do? And then I realized if I'm really going to become a missionary, I need to resign from my job. I was a teacher in a high school teaching mathematics and physics. Normally, you have to give 3 months' notice. Just there, I phoned my principal. I said, sir, I believe God has called me to become a missionary. He was dead silent on the other side. I said, can I please go the end of the month? And he was quiet. And he said, if you really believe it's God, I can't stop you. Yes, you can go. Boom, put the phone down. One day, I resigned from my job. I'm going to go to YWAM. I sold my house, I thought. And then, my friends, all hell broke loose. In that next season, I mean, the next week, my wife had an accident with a car. It rained and the car skidded off the road, hit a pole sideways and bended around it. And the end of her car. We both got sick. I mean, it was just terrible. It was like one thing on the other thing. Everything went wrong. It was like, what's happening? And then while I'm sick in bed, I get a phone call from this estate agent that sold my house. Mr. Hugo, I'm so sorry to tell you, but the couple who bought your house is not credit worthy. None of the banks in South Africa want to give them a loan. Sorry, bye. Ah, God! What happened? But it didn't stop there. I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes it's like one thing happened and another thing and another thing. Have you guys faced that? Next day, YWAM phones me from Cape Town. Hello, Stefan. This is YWAM in Cape Town. Yes. We received your fax for your wife and yourself. We're sorry to tell you, but the school you wanted to do is canceled. There wasn't enough students. Bye-bye. Ah, God! I missed you. You know what it felt like? God said, get out of the boat. I'm like, yes, I'm going to walk on water. I'm getting so excited. And the next moment, I'm seeing the waves. I'm like, okay, where's the boat? And I look around. No boat. Just me. And I'm going to go down. And I knew. I mean, I'm in big, big trouble now. I resigned by my own choice. So that means the end of this month, I'm not going to get a salary again. They already, I mean, I knew, but now they already appointed a new teacher who's going to take my place. I actually met her, and I had to show her a few things. My house is not sold, so that means I have to pay the bank those first few years. You just pay interest. I mean, nothing even come down on the price. So I knew, I mean, I'm quite mathematical. I've got a degree in maths. There's a big problem coming. But as they say in English, in every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. Next day, there's another phone call from another YWAM base. Stefan, we heard that you want to come do DTS in Cape Town. We have another school. It's called a leadership school. We know you have not done your DTS, but we believe there's a leadership call on your life. If you really, do you want to pray about coming? I don't know if you're like me, but if you're busy drowning and someone's throw a rope at you, oh, God, should I take this rope? Yes! But I was very spiritual too. I mean, okay, I'll pray about it. Put the phone down. I probably waited 30 seconds. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, 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 I'm coming. It was the quickest prayer or whatever. So now the time is getting very short. And I mean, I realize something has to happen. My faith was so low. It's like 1 week left for me, then I have to leave. I got in my car that morning. As I drove out of our yard, suddenly my gears get stuck. Man, I want to scream, shout in the devil's tongues, push the car out of the road. As I'm pushing the car, one of the schoolboys came past with one of these old VW Beetles. You know, like Herbie when he came from the junkyard? It was rusted and bended. He goes, bah, 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 bah. Hello, sir. Reverse, he says, can I give you a lift? Swallow my pride, get in this old skedonk, and we go to school. Man, I just felt so terrible. My faith was low, low, low. As I walk into the school, one of the schoolboys that heard that I'm leaving came to me and said, sir, I've got a card for you. And when I opened it, it said, dear sir, don't worry. God is in charge, Benny. Wow, faith just rose up. But you know, when your faith is low, even God come and encourage you. The faith get risen, and then I mean, my faith dropped. And you know when it dropped totally? The afternoon when I had to walk home. All the way. Walking home from school. When I got into our house, my wife opened the door. And this is her first words to me. Stefan, don't forget, tonight our home church have a farewell party for us. I said, Trudy, I don't want to go. I said, just think how embarrassing. Tonight they pray for us. Next Friday we're still here. So she looked at me. She said, what did God say to you, Stefan? As she said it was like something hit me. And I said to her, God said we go. Suddenly I knew that we go. Faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. God spoke it to me, but I had to say to my wife and to myself, God said we go. Nothing changed. In a physical, I still owed that, in today's money, 200,000 Hong Kong dollars. I still did not even have money to go to work. Everything was the same. But I knew we're going. God just did something in my heart. Our home cell took up an offering. It was enough money to just our travel cost. From where we were, it was about a 15-hour drive to where we had to do the school. And what happened, God gave me an idea. He said, go to a lawyer and give him power of attorney. You guys understand what that means? It's when someone else can sign on your behalf when you're not there. And ask him to sell the house. I spoke to him. He said, of course he will say yes because he's going to make money. So he said, don't worry. Just give me the fax number and the telephone number where you're going and I'll sort it out. We left. My dad helped me to unstuck the gears on my car. We drove. The car broke on the road again, but I got it fixed. And I arrived at YWAM. Guys, as I drove in, Trudy and myself, onto the base, a girl there that knew me greeted me. She said, welcome, Stefan. So good to see you. And she said, you won't believe it. 5 minutes ago, a fax arrived for you. I said, a fax? She said, it was a long fax. You know those old fax papers? It rolled and rolled and rolled. She said, it looked like the scroll of Jeremiah. Like, wow. So she said, wait. She ran in. She came back and literally, I mean, she brought me a whole scroll. I'm like, wow. I look and it saw the lawyer company, the whatever. And offer on Hugo's house. Yes. And it's true. A lady made an offer on my house. And I look, it looked good. Goes on. About 10th or 20th page. It says, subject to sale of her apartment. I thought, yeah, I knew there's a catch. That means she have to sell her apartment and then she will buy my house. And I look, there's more papers. Offer on this lady's apartment. It was an old lady that made an offer on her apartment. And so as I read it, it looks very good. The lawyer said at the bottom, sir, I recommend you take it. Immediately, I contacted him. I said, sell it. Let's go. I was so happy. I'm enjoying the school. God's doing healing in my life and whatever. 5 weeks in the school, there's a phone call at the public. We have one of these phones with put coins in. Someone called me. I ran over, picked up. It was the lawyer. Mr. Hugo, I've got some bad news for you. Oh, no, I don't want to know it. Please, don't tell me. But of course, I wanted to know. I said, what happened? He said, you won't believe this. The lady that moved into your house, she moved in. The one that bought your house moved in. The old lady that bought her apartment moved in. But this old lady had a little Maltese poodle. You know those white fluffy dogs? The constitution of that apartment block said no animals allowed. And it was not in our contract. Based on that, she canceled. And it's like dominoes. Ding, 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 ding. Everything fell. Guess how Stefan felt about little Maltese poodles. Praise be to God. There was no dog on that base. Otherwise, we would have had Washington for supper. Dog soup. Now, I just want to check with you guys, because I know many of you, English is your second language. Do you know what is a summons? You know when a judge writes a court order, and you have to do this or you go to prison? Okay, so I just want to make sure we understand that. So, the next day, there's another phone call. And this time, the guy that called me said, Stefan, there's an old man on the phone, and he's very angry.
I'm running, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, who can this be? Who can this be? Hello? It's my old man. This is what I hear. Stefan's papa. Stefan! Yeah. I received a summons today from the government. They say you broke contract with them. You have to pay, it's about 10,000 in 30 days. So in today's money, it's 100,000 Hong Kong dollars or rand that you have to pay in 30 days. How are you going to pay for this? Make sure you pay. Slam the phone down. You know how it felt? Like last night, you see, when some of you, when the presence of Jesus come on you, your legs get weak. It felt like that, but it wasn't Jesus. It was fear. So I'm walking away from this telephone, and it was on a farm, this base. There's a lot of vineyards. Slowly, I walk amongst the vineyards. I said, God, did you forget about some prison ministry you didn't tell me about? I was convinced I'm going to go to jail. Any case, to cut long story short, God did breakthroughs. God spoke to me that He will do the breakthrough. God even gave me a strategy how to pay it off. And God came through. Sorry, I just want to take a sip. During this whole time, after that I had to do another, I had to do the DTS in YWAM. That's the prerequisite. Anybody want to be in YWAM, I have to do the DTS. But when I start treating myself, started this journey, we walk by this principle. Both of us, out of our salaries, we were supporting a lot of missionaries. When we started this journey, I just told you this story. I felt God said, Stefan, I want you to continue to support all the people you're supporting. My poor wife. Ah, no, we cannot do this. I said, but we have to listen to God. In the second year when we did our DTS, we were now in Cape Town. We went to then eventually do our DTS in Cape Town. And often in the mornings, we had quiet time next to the ocean, just walk there. I felt God said, this month, I want you to double what you give to each person. My poor wife, she nearly lost it again. Are you crazy? We cannot afford to do this, Stefan. I said, Trudy, we cannot afford not to listen to God. You know what? Today, when I'm thinking of cutting support, Trudy challenged me. She says, Stefan, we cannot afford not to listen to God. It's a lifestyle that I've been living and I'm still living every day, walking with God, but applying this principle. Now what happened, sometimes we think, I am so poor, I am just too young, I am a student, I am an African, I am from China, whatever your situation is, I don't have enough to give. Do you know, often in the Bible, God challenged the poorest of the poor to give. And this is one of those stories. It's in 1 Kings 17. You can go and read it later. Let me just quickly paraphrase it or tell it for you. Elisha was in Israel and there was a famine in the land. That means no food, nothing. Every day God supernaturally took care of him. God brought some birds, ravens, and they brought him meat. And there was a little fountain he stayed at. One day the birds didn't come anymore. And then God spoke to him and said, listen, you need to go to that widow and ask her to make your food. Do you know that that widow was the poorest person alive in Israel? When she arrived there, I mean, if you think now, let's go out of this hotel just a little bit here into the hill, you'll find some very poor people. Think now of the oldest little shack or little house here in this village. And God sends you there and you go and knock on the door. God says, go and ask them for food. And there's an old lady and she comes out and, yes? And you said, make me some food, please. She said, sir, this is my last little bit of rice, and then my son and myself's going to die. I'm so sorry. That's what we would probably do. That's not what the man of God did. He said, no, you first make me food. Wow. Can you believe the rudeness of God and the man of God? What happened when this widow obeyed? The oil and the flour never ended.
God did the miracles. And God had to show me, and many times in Africa, I often teach this teaching to poor people. I teach it to everybody. Because you see, a spirit of poverty doesn't mean you're poor or you're rich. It just means the little or the much you have, you hold on to. That's what spirit of poverty means. I don't know if you know that. But a spirit of poverty is the little or the much I have, I hold on to. God came and gave us a spirit of generosity. And God will take what you have in your hand, little bit or much, and God will multiply that. And in this case, the widow had some oil and flour, and God multiplied it, and many, many people were fed. What happened, many other stories happened, but then I felt God said it's time to pioneer a new base. That's about 10 years, 11 years ago. And it's in a town where I'm now, Worcester, and I felt God challenged me to buy the first hospital of that town. It was a big challenge. And so we bought it. God did some miracles. But for 10 years before we got it, this place was empty, so people were squatting in it. I don't know if you've ever been to a building where people squat. They squat and they squat. Stinky business. And they normally break everything inside and so on. Any case, we fixed it up. God did miracles. And 2 months after I bought the place, Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder of YM, and his wife arrived, and they led an LTS, a leadership training school, on my base. 130 students arrived. Most of them are from Africa. And then we had a few from other countries. What happened is I was so stretched. I mean, there was no beds, no tables, no chairs, nothing in that place. Everything I had to buy. There was no kitchen, like where to buy kitchen stuff. So I'm like one of these elastic bands, God stretching me. You can go cling, cling. That's how tight I was with just. And then, but God did some things. Then Lauren and Darlene Cunningham and another guy, David Hamilton, they called me aside. They said, Stefan, we have this new equipment in YM. It's called Genesis. It's where you do video conferencing. You connect with another part of the world. It's basically like Skype today, but this is now long before Skype was invented. So you have to use these big computers and whatever. There was different. You use the ISDN lines, and there's a lot of things that you use to do this. And they said, Lauren said to me, Stefan, we believe you need to buy this for your base. I said, yes. I've played many times cards, so I can keep a nice face. I said, how much is it going to cost? Lauren said, about 100,000. I nearly swallowed my tongue. That's no rand. So that was about $25,000 US. I said, 100,000. Okay. He said, go and pray about it if you guys should buy this. I'm thinking, man, is this old man crazy? So I'm just smiling. Okay. I walk away and I'm thinking, this old man is not right. I'm struggling to put chairs and tables and things we need, and he wants me to buy electronic equipment. The next day, David Hamilton sees me. He says, Stefan, did you make the decision on that Genesis project? I said, yes, we're not going to take it. He comes straight to me. He said, did you make the decision because God said or because of money? Because of money. He didn't leave it there. I thought he's going to push his finger up my nose. He said, you know what you're doing? You're putting a ceiling on this, and you say, God, whenever it's bigger than this, you can't do it. And it was exactly true. I just said, God, I'm so sorry. And we went back to my team. We started to pray. We fasted for 3 days. And then God said, yes, yes, yes. Literally, guys, as I walk out of this meeting where we said yes, I saw Darlene Cunningham. And I said, Darlene. She said, yes. I said, we prayed and we felt, yes, we should buy it. She said, okay, let's go and buy it. I said, now? I mean, I'm like, okay, should we do it so quickly? My faith needs to grow. So straight, she goes to my office, phone to Switzerland, order all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, God, how are we going to pay for this? I mean, now, it's funny how one moment your faith is up and yes. And then when the reality is, okay, God, what's going to happen? That Friday, that week, we had a speaker from Samoa. Now, the Samoan guys is these big islanders. Now, he's my length, but man, he has forearms like this and chest like this and tattoos like here, and the legs is tattooed. And he spoke to us, and he challenged us a bit about this whole principle, we think we are so poor. And he said, I grew up as an islander. I didn't have shoes for most of his life. And he said, always, I felt like, and God challenged him, and God said, you are not poor. And he said, I see the same thing with us now there in Africa. He is such a like a, there's a spirit of, I don't have enough. And he just challenged us. And he went a little bit over time into the lunchtime that Friday and suddenly stopped. He said, I believe we need to take an offering for this Genesis project. Now I'm sitting in the back, I'm thinking, man, Friday afternoon is a terrible time to take an offering. People are tired, they want to go home, they want to go have weekend. I don't think this is good. Now, what he did then is he said, how much is it going to cost? And one of my staff said, oh, about 100,000. He said, 100,000. I believe we're going to take it. And he went to sit down. I'm thinking, no ways are you going to take 100,000. I knew the students, man. Most of them are from Africa. They can't even pay school fees. How the heck will we take 100,000? Secondly, it's Friday afternoon. It's not a good time to take an offering. Thirdly, if you really have to take an offering, you need to motivate the people. Say, come on, guys, let's give. And, you know? Nothing. He just went to sit down. So I'm sitting there in the back, folding my arms, thinking, yeah, you don't know what you're saying. But I was the one who didn't know what God's going to do. The next moment, there was a couple. They were sitting like on the side there. They were from India. His name was P. Sam, and his wife was Victoria. So they walk to the front, and they took the mic, and they said, God spoke to us to give for this project, but we have no money. But this is what we have. And they took off their wedding rings and they put it down. Something just broke over us. The next moment, a brother of mine from Zimbabwe, Vincent walked to the front and he said, God spoke to me to give, but this is all I have. And he had beautiful black shoes, probably his only nice shoes. He took it off and he put it there on the altar. Another brother from Zambia came to the front and he had a beautiful blazer. You know, for Africans, it's very important clothes. It's like the thing that makes them valuable. He took off this jacket and he said, this is what I can give. My friends, for the next 3.5 hours, people just gave and gave and gave. We were just crying. And I mean, it was different things. For some people, it was valuable. Some will bring their guitar. Some bring a watch. Some bring a camera. Some bring a laptop computer. Some bring a bicycle. There was a few bicycles. For some, it was maybe a promise ring from a father. If you sell it, it's not worth anything. I mean, a few bucks. But it was so precious because my daddy gave this to me. And they give that. Another one gave earrings that was from a grandmother. Something that was precious. For me, the most beautiful thing that afternoon was, after a while, we had quite a few couples on the school. And the children were, because we didn't come to eat now. I mean, we're meeting while it's lunchtime. We could hear the children next door playing. And then about 45 minutes later, some of the kids start coming in. Check, where's their mommies and daddies? And I saw them. I mean, I'm still sitting there in the back crying my eyeballs out. And I saw these kids walking to their parents, talking a little bit. And parents probably explain what's happening. They run out. The next moment, 3 or 4 of these kids came in with a toy, a big car or a doll. And they just lay down on the altar. And I saw everybody have something to give. And God just broke over us that day, that whole spirit of poverty. At the end of that day, there was a lot of cash too. It was about 50,000 rand, the cash. And then this pile of things. Lauren said to me, Stefan, please make an inventory. I wrote down everything that was given. So many rings, watches, cameras, whatever. And we locked it away in a safe. And he said, let's ask God what to do. The next week when this stuff arrived, it wasn't 100,000, it was 135,000 rand. So I'm, okay, God, what are we going to do with the stuff? Now I have all the stuff here, but what are we going to do with it? And Lauren said to me, just relax, wait, God will show us. 3 weeks later, Lauren phoned me. He said, Stefan, tonight, he was still there at the base, but he phoned me to my house. He said, please pack all the stuff on the stage and cover it with blankets. Now the money was already in the bank, but the physical stuff. And Lauren spoke for 10 minutes, the power of redemption. He said, Jesus paid the price to redeem us. And then he stopped. He said, you know, after we took that offering, a Chinese brother heard about our sacrificial offering in Africa. And he went to some Chinese Christians in the church and he said, let's take an offering for our brothers in Africa. And they took an offering and it was over 100,000 rand. And they sent it to us. Man, that day we cried even more. They said, what you have given, it's redeemed. And, you know, that first day we cried a lot. The second time, now you've given your laptop, computer, whatever it was, people go and fetch it. But you know what have happened by now? God have already provided for some people new things. So they take this and they took it to someone else. And God just broke something. For Trudy, the only thing my wife inherited from her mom when her mom died, is it 4 or 5 golden bangles? 4. That's the only thing she got, was 4 golden bangles. And that day she gave that 4 golden bangles. And then she got it back. And she still have it. But yeah, and sometimes you don't know if you have it back. My friends, the Bible says, whatever we sow, we will reap. There are many different scriptures. This talk, sowing in the flesh, sowing in the spirit. Now, in the natural, you get different types of seed. This is called a mushroom seed. How quick does a mushroom grow? Overnight. Tonight there's nothing, and tomorrow you have some white mushrooms on your grass or whatever. Very quick. Sometimes it's the same in the kingdom of God. I give something now, and a short time later, God give it back to me. Sometimes it's in the same day. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. Just a release of something from God. But not all seed is mushroom. We get other seed that is corn. That takes 5-6 months. So you plant this corn seed. 5-6 months later, you can harvest it. Same in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we give something, and for many months, nothing. And then suddenly it's harvest time. But then there are other seeds that look, this is still corn. There are other seeds that look like this. How long do you take before you cut them down? Pine trees, oak trees? Many years. If you want to make telephone poles, 10 years. But if you want to make furniture or you want to make houses, you have to wait 20, 30 years, some even 40 years. Depends what they want to do with it. It's the same in the kingdom of God. As we give something, we don't know. Is it mushroom? Is it corn? Is it? But the Bible says whatever you sow, you will reap. Sometimes it takes 20, 30 years. And God bless you back. Let me quickly tell you some mushroom stories. This guy, P. Sam, and his wife, they were giving that rings. He told me the story himself. He said, "Stefan, as I walk back, I felt someone put something in my pocket." He said, "I didn't see who it was, but it was one of somebody in the room. And he felt and he knew it was a ring." When they sat down, someone behind him tapped him on the shoulder and said, "P. Sam, Victoria, we're going to take you tomorrow to a jeweler and you can each choose a new ring." It was some mushroom seed. But he said to me, that was not the biggest miracle. He said, that morning, before the class, him and his wife prayed, and they had a little girl that they homeschooled. She was 7 years old. Now, those of you who know about homeschooling, the most expensive thing is the books. He said, we didn't have any money for books for our daughter's homeschool. And they prayed, "Please, God, will you help us?" And the thought that came up, what they felt is, God said, "What would you give?" And they both said, "God will give our rings." That's why when this call came, they knew that's what they should give. That afternoon, after the time that we were together, we had a little internet cafe on the base. They went there, checked the emails. There was an email from a couple they met 3 years ago in India. It's an American couple. They stayed in New York. This is what this couple wrote. "Peace and Victoria, this morning when we prayed for you, God spoke to us and told us to support your daughter for her homeschool." Or not for homeschool, for school. "Where can we send the money?" Now, I don't know if you know the time difference between New York and South Africa. It's 6 hours or 7, depends winter, summertime. We worked out, P-Sam actually printed out this email for me. It looked to me and him. The moment here in South Africa, when he put down his ring, God spoke to someone thousands of miles away in another continent and released something. And there was mushroom seed. I remember I told you that story. I gave away my first car when I was 19 years old. It was a VW van. 19 years later, when I was 38, I totally forgot about it. I was preaching in Durban, South Africa. Suddenly, a young man came up to me, a black guy. He was about 20 years old. He said, "Sir, can I talk to you?" And I could see he's very nervous. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah. He said, I just want to talk to you." I said, "Yes." He said, "God said to you, I must give you something." I said, "Yes." And he put his hand in his pocket and he said, "This is for you." I said, "What is this?" And it was keys. He says, "This is for a red VW Caravelle 2.3i, whatever." I'm like, no, I can't take your car. And I gave it back. He said, no, God said I must give it to you. So we sort of there, back and forth. And I'm like, God, I can't take his car. And God said, take it. I found Trudy. I told her about it. Trudy said, you can't take this young man's car. And I said, let's pray. And both of us felt, yes, take it. Suddenly God reminded me, I didn't need a van or anything like that. That stage. God said to me, Stefan, I did not forget. 19 years ago, you gave that. I just want to say thank you to you. 3 weeks later, God told me, give it back to him. I really didn't need it. It was a nice car, but yeah, we didn't need it. And I felt God said, he was just testing him. I phoned him. This young man shouted and screamed. His name is Julius. He said, wow, Stefan, you won't believe it. This was our, they had a Christian rock band. It's called Vision X. He said, it was ours. I mean, his family's car, but the band used it. And he said, thank you so much. And I said, God just was testing your heart. And God was reminding me of something I did 19 years ago that I forgot about. And it was just like God just did it to encourage me. And often that will happen. Okay, what we're going to do now. Okay. I will. That will be my last story. I always cry when I tell that story. So. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story now, but I want you to start to think so long because we're going to have worship now. We have about 30, 40 minutes that we can together here worship Jesus. And the way we're going to do the worship is you're going to ask God, is there something you can give sacrificially to somebody else here? Now, I know you don't necessarily have it here, but you can write it on a paper. Just check in my back. Trudy, there's a lot of, in the middle, the big one. Yeah, there where, you have, where it's open, there's little pieces of paper if you don't have. Now, it could be just in your home group or it could be in the big group. Okay, so what we're going to do in the next few minutes, so you have a little bit of time just to pray and ask God, what can I give to somebody else here? That's a way of saying thank you to Jesus. Okay, that's going to be worship. Often we think worship is just singing. But worship is not just singing. Sometimes giving something is worship to God. Okay, now today we're not going to give for a project or for, we're going to give for somebody else something that from us to them, but to worship Jesus, to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. If it is something you have in your room and you quickly want to run there, you can do that. But you don't have to. You can just write on the paper your name and I owe you, and then this, iPod or money or whatever God says to you. Okay, there's no pressure, please. The Bible says in that scripture we start with, God loves a cheerful giver. But this is just a little bit time of worshiping Jesus. Okay, so it needn't be just for your home group. It could be for anybody. And the way I'm going to do it is we're going to start first in a big group for the first few minutes till everybody has given to someone that's not in your home group. And then we're going to go where it will be to people that's specifically maybe in your home groups. Thank you, God. Lord, I just pray that you will speak to us. Come, Jesus. Just talk to us now and show us what we should give. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that there's no pressure, but Lord, we can learn to hear your voice. What should we give? And then who do you want us to give it to? someone still want a piece of paper, I'll leave it here on the podium under the magnet. You can just come and pull one. One or more. Thank you, Jesus. As you praying and thinking, let me just tell you this story that Ingela want me to say. There was a girl that came to our base from Zambia. Her name is Christabel. She grew up very, very poor. Now, none of us knew this. She was just there as a student. And actually, the story I'm telling you now, we first heard that the night of her graduation. So nobody knew anything of this, what happened before that. Actually, she was 23 years old when she came to us. And in her whole life, she never ever had new shoes, never. She only got the old shoes that other people throw out, the rubbish. And even when she came to YWAM at the age of 23, the shoes she had was old shoes that other people threw out. But of course, we didn't know that. They prayed as a team where they should go on outreach, and God showed them to go to Brazil. The Brazil church was so happy that there's a team from Africa coming that they actually took an offering to pay two of the students' tickets. And Christabel's was one of those. She started to pray. Now, I don't know if you ladies know, but the place in the world to buy shoes is Brazil. My wife, whoa, and Ingela. With my wife, I want to leave my credit card at home when we go to Brazil. Or whenever I go, she said, please buy me shoes. Christabel prayed and she said, God, can I please have new shoes when I go to Brazil? And she prayed it a few times. When they arrived in Brazil, she prayed, please, God, can I have new shoes? Nothing happened. 1 week, 2 weeks. 7 weeks went past. They were just there for 8 weeks. It was the Sunday of the seventh week, and Christabel had no shoes. They were finished at a church. They were at that stage staying at a YWAM base. And someone ran to the van and knocked on the window and said, Christabel, Christabel, I bought you this gift. And it was a box with a ribbon on it. When Christabel opened and she looked in, it was the most beautiful pair of shoes that you can ever think of. She's like, wow. And suddenly she felt God said, this is not for you. There's somebody on the base who needs this more than you. She said, yes, God. She closed it and she tied the ribbon. As she came to the YWAM base, she went to this Brazilian girl's room that she felt. She knocked on the door and the girl opened. She said, I've got a gift for you from God. The Brazilian lady opened it and she started screaming. She said, you know, I've been praying for a pair of shoes just like this. And she just crying, and Christabel said, you're welcome. And she walked away. She said the next morning, someone came from someone they met where they ministered, some of the people in the church, and said, Christabel, would you like to come with us to town? And she went with them, and they stopped at a shoe shop, and the lady said to her, listen, you can choose any two pairs of shoes, I will pay for it. She said when they got back to the YWAM base, on her door, the room where she stayed, there was a plastic bag with a name on it hanging on the door handle. She looked, she opened it, inside was three pairs of shoes. She said the next day, someone else came and took her out to town, and they stopped at a mall, and the people said, listen, we just feel in our heart, we need to buy you some shoes. And they bought her three pairs of shoes. She said when she got back to the base, in front of her bed, there was three boxes or four boxes. She looked and it was shoes. Now this story I'm telling you, she told us the night of her graduation. She stopped. She said, wait, wait. And on the side of the stage, we didn't even see it. There was a suitcase. She rolled it out and there was a little table in the front. She put it, she unzipped it and she says, look, 23 pairs of new shoes. One for every year she missed out. But you see, she could have said that first one. This is mine. I deserve it, God. I've never had new shoes. But she was like, yes, God. And God said, I can trust her. And a release came. Thank you, Jesus. You want to slip out to quickly go to the restroom, but we're going to just continue with worship. Okay, so the way we're going to do this, I know it's a little bit different culturally, and in many cultures in the world, they don't like to do this. But you're going to come quickly here to the front, and you're going to call the person you want to give. And we're going to tell everybody, this is what I'm giving. Now, I know in some of our cultures, we use the Bible which says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But this is to worship Jesus. Okay, so if you want to go and get something in your room, you can. But otherwise, just write on that piece of paper. Maybe it's in your room, maybe it's at home, and you can later, when we're back in Hong Kong, can arrange to get it to that person. But this is going to be more the, we're going to hand it over, even if it's on a piece of paper. If it is finances, and you have it here, and you want to give it, that's good. But so what I'm going to ask you to do, you come here to the front, and just speak in the mic, call the person, and then quickly you give to him or her, and then you guys just go somewhere and pray for one another. So one of you can be the first, and one of you can be the last, and all the rest of us will be in the middle. Okay, so you want to be first? You have one chance to be first. Is it on? It was on just now. Oh, it wasn't this one. Oh, sorry, it's maybe at the back. That's it.
Okay, so because I don't think they are coincidences, and actually today at breakfast, Ben Kwan was telling me about how Trish got a cello, but there was a crack in it. I was like, how can you play a cello with a crack in it? And then Trish had told me earlier that she wanted cello lessons, and I actually have a cello, and my cello is quite meaningful to me because I bought it with the first paycheck that I ever had in full-time employment. So that was when I was a trainee solicitor. So, but it's actually been sitting in my room doing nothing for a long time. So Trish. And also in terms of timing, it's really perfect as well because I'm going to Beijing for a year or two and I can't take my cello with me. So, and Trish, you can't play a cello with a crack in it, irrespective of what Brian says about, like, Brian, apparently Brian's like, I can fix this crack in your cello. Okay, like, Brian. So, Trish, I'm going to give you my cello.
As soon as you've given something, you can just go to a corner or there, and then the two of you pray for one another. All right. So just go somewhere. So she says thank you, and she prays for her for a blessing. The next person, as soon as the next person is finished, you can just continue coming. All right.
Mine's not that great. I actually tried to force myself to think of something really like special, but only one thing came to my head, and I was back there just doing stuff, like I'm a coffee freak, and I was just kind of cleaning my French press. You know, I'm like, oh, I could just take it upstairs and wash it. Oh well, and I was just washing it, you know. And then so, since this happened, the only person I could think of is Sam. Sam Ling. Because I've been getting to know Sam throughout the year because of worship team. And in Cambodia and stuff, she's always the one who loves coffee. She's like my coffee buddy. So I thought, so I was just kind of praying about it, and you know, I was like, are you sure this is from you, or is it just because I have this with me? So, this is for Sam.
Okay.
Actually, it's perfect because, I think God wants me to give you something too. It's at home, and it's actually a ring that my dad gave me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, the next can come. They can pray for one. Oh, you want to say something more about this thing? That's good.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So this ring, for those of you who don't know, my dad passed away when I was 16. And Marsha, I feel like God is telling you that you're his precious daughter and he loves you.
Amen.
And you're worth more than the ring, but this is the ring. So that you're his daughter and he loves you so much. And you're so precious.
Thank you, Jesus. The next one can come. You guys can just go and pray for one another.
This is for John Chen and Jan. Well, initially I thought we are from the same family and the same surname, and figure out you are from Korea. I don't know why Koreans have the same Chinese surname. I'm from Taiwan. When you were standing here, your story just touched me so much. And I have some money, renminbi. But then the other thing that God planted in my heart is to support your ministry. So I don't know how many copies of Bibles that you will require for your ministries, but I like to sow that into your ministries for 2010, for the whole year, and just a token about how wonderful that God has made both of you. And so may I have the honor to support both of you. Thank you.
Lisa, actually Amanda and I both felt that we should give something to you.
In my ministry, the Lord keep putting in my heart more and more Northeast Asia. So I'm very focused in Northeast Asia at the moment. And he gave me 3 keys to open this door. And I gave away the one to China and the one to Japan. And now I only left with the one Korea. And then because Friday, Stephen prayed for you about a key to open doors. So I want to give you this key, because key are very, you know, you just open the door and then it just opens. So this is just symbolic.
Lisa, this is also just a small gift from South Africa. And it's a small spoon with an elephant on. And what I just feel, this spoon speaks about hospitality, and God just reminded me of that word that we gave you on Friday night, that you are a bridge builder. And this little bit of sugar that goes on the spoon will give you the energy to accomplish that that God has called you. And the elephant is such a majestic animal. It's my favorite animal. And it's so committed to its family. And it's got a long memory. And I just feel, you know, that just take a little bit of sugar when you need it. Because sometimes when you're in leadership, you need a lot of energy and you need a lot of sugar. So I would love it when you guys give her more sugar. Okay? And then I also got a little pair of earrings for you. And I just felt that God said, I see you don't have... But just that you are his jewel. Okay.
Actually, I think God wants to give you lots of jewelry today. I have a pearl necklace, and I feel that God wants me to give it to you. I think maybe pearls just has really significant meaning in the value that you have. A necklace to frame your beauty. So, I don't have it here now, but
don't leave yet, because I think she's right. Because we've already, I had this written down. And when I prayed, I saw a pair of ruby and sapphire earrings that I had, and I said, "Lord, who do you want me to give this to?" And God said, "Give this to Lisa, because it's to honor Pastor Sam, Lisa, and also for Lisa to know that she is the valued and beautiful bride of Christ."
Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
And I was praying for what to give. It reminded me of a time when I was doing some inner healing with Jimmy Stewart. So I did about 3 to 4 sessions, and I knew the way Jimmy operated is you gave something, but you know, he sort of gave him what was on your heart. And I really had no idea, so I just prayed, and the number 5,000 came to my mind, and I thought to myself, I said, "Ah, God, that's kind of a bit too much." And then I said, and I just went out about my daily business. But it flashed at me a few times, 5,000. I was like, "Oh, okay, whatever." But I was working at a party, and for some German company, and I was performing some magic for them. And the owner of the company, when I used to meet him, he always used to like shove money in my hand and stuff like that, which it was usually $1,000. And that night, he wanted to do it again. I said, "Hey, it's actually no need. You know, you guys are paying me to be here. Don't worry about it." But he insisted, and he came up sort of behind me, and he shoved $5,000 in my hand. And I didn't know what it was. I just put it in my pocket. And then I went and checked it out later. And I was like, "Sweet, thank you." And then on the boat ride back home, I realized that was the money I was supposed to give Jimmy. So I was just praying now, and again, I got the word 5,000, and I don't know why, it just came into my head, and I was like, "Again, you know?" then Godwin's face came into my mind. So, Godwin, I don't have 5,000 on me right now, but I have an IOU for 5,000 for you.
I've been praying about this for a long time, and Grace, I just wanted to help and release you from the generation bondage or curse that the evil of Satan has on your family, and I want to release you from your former employer, and I want to just bless you with the whole amount that you have to repay your employer for, so... I feel like God wants to free you so you can just go and just be his pioneer and like in countries that needs his love, and he's going to free you from all that bondage that he has on you and your family.
Okay, I'll go. Leanne and I were sitting next to each other. I think we both wanted to give to Grace as well. So it's not much, but I feel like, you know, I'm quite close with Grace, but for some reason I never really helped her in any way, and I keep helping like other people, and I just feel like this is a time, so I'll just give her some money. And
Grace, so... yeah, so Grace, you've really helped me grow in my walk with God, and this trip to Philippines is gonna be my first mission trip, and I really want you to go together with me.
so I'll get you your ticket to the Philippines, and if you're not going to Las Vegas, yeah, come together.
For those of you who know me, I have a very hard time trusting God with my finances. I just place like a lot of security on my ability to, you know, like make money and all that. And when I was praying about what are the impossible prayers I can pray for, is that God really released me in that area, because I tend to trust in myself so much more, and like, you know, money and financial security more than God a lot of times. And I felt like God released me the past 12 years, 12 months, but I think there's more that I need to go. And when I was talking with my roommate last night, she was talking about how she doesn't have much right now because she's a student, but even before, like, you know, like compared to when she was working, she seems like, you know, she has so much more, and she has a very abundant life and everything, and that really, like, spoke to me in a sense, because, yeah, and... Hannah Kim, where is she? She's not here. Oh, okay, she's not here, but I guess I'll just pass it to her later when she comes back.
Some of you may know, recently I lost my bag when I was with a baby, and, you know, I was quite upset and had a lot of money and everything in it, but money and a lot of baby coupons and things like that, but I feel like first I was really angry, but now I've had a lot of revelation. I'm more thankful for things that I do have. So I just want to give away all the things that I lost again. So including the baby coupons, I want to give some to Godwin. And also I want to give some of the cash to Marsha as well, because she's always been a close friend. I always wanted to give, but didn't get a chance to. So
thank you.
Hey guys, I guess I'll go through the process of how I came to this, but I was praying, and I really had no idea what God wanted me to give. And, like, I don't really think of anything too like that's suddenly too important for me to me, like anything that I own. But then I started praying, and then I started seeing purple. I don't know why, but and then I was like, wait, God, are you really telling me to? Like, are you really asking me to give what I think you want me to give? And purple is my school color. I went to the University of Washington, and I have this shirt. It's probably one of my favorite sleeveless shirts, which I wore coming here, but it's a Washington Huskies shirt. I think I wanted to give it to Kenny. Because... if you want to know how me and Kenny met, you can talk to me later or ask one of us. But I just want to say I think God is so proud of Kenny, how far he's come. And how we used to hang out before is so different from how we hang out right now. So, but I think, God just wanted me to give you this, just something that's sentimental to me. I'll just give it to you. It doesn't smell, so.
Actually, it's good. So I can cut in line, sorry. That's also good that Stevie's up here. I just want to call up Annie. So. came back. I mean, Stevie brought me to SP, but, you know, it was really, I think when I came to SP, like, really my best friends were, like, Stevie, Tom, and Annie. And I wasn't working, Annie wasn't working, so we were, like, hanging out a lot. And, you know, I think being with Annie, she really showed me just the joy of being in a relationship. And she really sowed a lot in my life, and I think all of us. She's like, I guess, the mature one. And, you know, I think God recognizes that. And, where's my... I just want to give her my iPhone. And...
I want to call Pastor Sam. So, before I came, I bought this for you in South Africa, and I feel it's a symbolic of a new hat. Some South African tea just as also a symbol of friendship and looking forward to see how God's going to take you into the new area and even us doing something together somewhere in the world in years to come. So, this is for you.
It's kind of embarrassing for me to stand out here because Sims are in comparison to other people. Well, sorry, I'm not supposed to compare. But sorry, I have two families and one person that come up. Because I was asking God, what can I give, you know? I have not been working. It's like my computer, my phone, or I don't know, my camera. But I'm going to call Jane Chung. And I don't know if Hannah Kong is still here or she went back already. And also Jean-Marc and Jean-Marc's family. I don't think they're here anymore. For Jane Chung, earlier the donation, I just dig out everything that I have in my wallet, but I kept a $20. You know, that's my habit. I always try to keep something, you know, just in case I need it. And I just felt that God said grace. Even that $20 bill, you should give it to her, you know. And for Anna Kong, she's really not here. Both Anna Kong and Jean-Marc's family, I just feel like, because during the whole trip, whenever I see Genevieve, is that how you pronounce her name? Genevieve, sorry. I just want to pray for her. And God just say, you know, you got to spend your time praying for her and praying for Hannah. You know, like, just, yeah, pray for them. So, unfortunately, they're not here. Okay, thank you.
To help us with time, if you give to someone that's not in your home church. So if it is for someone in your home church, just wait a little bit because soon I'm going to divide us in our home church. It's just for time. I mean, it's nice if we do everything like this, but unfortunately, otherwise we're going to miss lunch. Some of us don't mind. Yes.
Can I call upon P. Sam? In our EG class, he talked about somebody gave him a flat that he left behind. And when he spoke like that, we listen to our EG, you know. We're not usually fall asleep. And when he said that, my spirit just jumped, like, he should have this flat. It's a lion flat. Lion represent apostolic, and ego is prophetic. So I felt very strongly, Pastor Sam is apostolic, you know, walk in apostolic. And with our church planting, you know, and our building a new church, I felt we need to come around him and we need to say, yeah, he's going into new thing. Apostolic meaning going to new things nobody done before, and he's going into new thing. And we want to come alongside and say, yeah, we are with you and we just follow you, and I just want to release this banner into you. And can I ask our house church leaders, and is Stanley still here, that come forward and we pray with P. Sam? And please stretch out your hand and pray too.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Would our South African guests like to come and join the prayer party?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. More. It's funny, I mute me. This.
I just feel as a prophetic utterance that we must roar like a lion, and that we will release that lion of Judah anointing over him. So I'm going to count to three, and then all of us are just going to roar, and we're going to trust God that that lion of Judah anointing, that apostolic anointing, will even increase even more. Okay, one, two, three.
Thank you for your authority on his life. Thank you that he can walk with your backing. Thank you that he can fly with your authority. Thank you for the roar that's in him, that's you. Increase it. Increase it.
Before we came, we just saw a vision of the Lion of Judah roaring, and the dragon just fleeing with his tail between his legs. And I feel that is a specific prophetic word specifically for you, but also for the church. And as Pastor Sam is going to roar, and the rest of the church is going to roar with him, the dragon is just going to flee.
I just sense that we want to, we do this already, but publicly just declare that, you know, that we submit to you, and that we will follow you, and as God leads you to really take this church to a new level, and you have to do it because you're the leader. And, you know, we will follow you. We just submit to you once again, in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our pastor, oh God. We just love him. We just pray over abundance of favor, abundance of blessing upon his life, oh Lord. Prosperity, oh Lord. Pastor Sam, I just get the sense that that you, not only do you have an apostolic calling on your life, you have... You're a trailblazer, you're a visionary, you're a leader. Not only amongst SP, but amongst other Christians amongst other churches as well, Lord. I just see a vision of you just, you know, you talking to thousands upon thousands of people globally, and I think God is just sowing the seeds right now, you know, having you travel all over the world to really build your global perspective, and you're just building a great leader. So God, we just pour abundance of favor and pouring of blessing, outpouring of blessing upon his life, Lord. I just want to read Psalm 23. And this is what I always think of, you know, this is just something of many things what I think when I think of Pastor Sam. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we pray, O Lord, we pray you pour abundance of favor and overflow in Pastor Sam, Lisa, Elise, and Emma's life, O Lord. We'll follow him. Lord, use him. Use him powerfully, O Lord. Bring your power upon him, O God. Holy Spirit, just always follow him. May goodness always follow the rest of his life.
Father Sam, I just look around the people praying over you, and I see that you've been such an amazing spiritual father and a pastor to all of us standing here. And I just sense it's not coincidence that this retreat is the first time we have 12 house churches, and we're like your 12 sets of disciples. And as I was just dialoguing with God, I just sensed, you know, in Acts, that 12 became 120 disciples. And so it's not about double portion. We're looking at tenfold increase in your members of disciples that you're going to teach. We're looking at the 12 sort of house churches standing here multiplying. And through as the 12 disciples that Jesus taught and sort of led, they went out and became leaders in the house churches and teachers of others in their own right. I just see that calling upon all the people standing around here. And thanks to you, thanks to God for bringing you to Hong Kong, for the calling on you and Lisa's life, you know, planting a church of 6 members, and now it's like over 200. I mean, just praise God for all that, for just being a part of smaller, and all of us here just in our own, we just thank you for just touching our lives, and for God using your words of love, your words of fatherhood, your words of faith, and just encouragement, and just edification, and comfort, and all those things that you really are a man who not only just proclaims it, but demonstrates it in each of our lives, and I know in each of the lives of the congregation, the member here. And so, Lord, we just lift up to our pastor and Lisa. We just thank you, Lord Father, for the heart that you've given to them. We thank you, Lord Father, that we know many times Pastor Sam says he comes across sort of people older than them and more mature than them. But, Lord, we know that in spirit he is our Father, Lord. In spirit, he's raised so many of us from infancy, even just to now, in whatever stage we're at, Lord Father. He's raised us up to that next level. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just proclaim favor over him. We know that just now we're standing around, you know, the 12 house churches that you've spoken to him about, and that we're standing here. We know it's going to be 120, Lord Father, because that's the calling you have on his life, Lord. We know that it's not just about double portion. It's about the discipling of nations, Lord Father. It's no coincidence that we're all him, people from many nations in Hong Kong, such an amazing gateway, Lord. And you've called him and Lisa to Hong Kong, Lord Father. And we just... we just want that release right now, that lion's release for just churches to sprout out across Asia, Lord Father, to be just armed with the word and the spirit, Lord Father, in equal measure, because that you seek worshippers in spirit and truth, Lord. And that's the worship you love, and that's the worship you're building up in this place. So, Lord, we just thank you for our pastor. We thank you for our father and our mother, Lisa. We thank you for our children, Elise and Emma. Some of you have seen them grow up from just babies to girls and more, Lord. We pray for an increase in their family. We pray for their new member to come in the years, in next year, or when you call them to, Lord Father, for the third. We just pray for favor of their lives and abundance and in anything, you know, especially I just feel I should pray for relationship with his dad as well. We lift up to you, Papa and Mama Song, who've just sown so much into their lives, and we're reaping the benefits of what they've sowed as well into Pastor Sam and Lisa. So we just lift this all up to you, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord. Just love you so much, Lord Father.
And Pastor Sam and Lisa, I just... I just wanted to apologize on behalf of myself and the whole church for judging you, criticizing you, and not appreciating you. We're not perfect, but so often we look to you and we judge you, and we don't see the good things you're doing. And, you know, we say, oh, but he's doing this, she's doing that, and... Lord, I just ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for this church. We just humble ourselves before you right now, as our leaders, as our spiritual father and mother. And we ask for your forgiveness. I just want to say that we appreciate you so much. And even though we don't always see everything that you do in secret, in the darkness, that we don't know, but God sees it. God knows your heart. And we all know that your heart is in the right place. We're so blessed that we have leaders whose heart is so solidly for God. There's no doubt in all of our congregation's minds that you are a true man and woman of God that seek and desire after God's heart. And I know that you're already reaping what you're sowing. SP has always been a church where we go deep in the spirit, where the root takes deep in the ground, Lord God. And people have been sent to the nations, Lord. And people have been sent to the nations already expanding, and the fruits bearing on those branches that are, you know, opening wide from that trunk, the tree trunk that are Pastor Sam and Lisa. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would guard their hearts, Lord God, that you would guard their hearts. That they'll just continue to sow in the spirit, in the secret, a true heart after you. That their hearts not will waver. That they will just solidly run after you. And that their hearts will not be divided. And no weapons against them will prosper. We just thank you so much, and just guard this family, Lord God. Their personal prayer lives, their family life. We need them to stand firm in you, Lord God. And as a church, we just cover them in the spirit right now, Lord God. We put a hedge of protection over them right now, Lord. Angels, just stand garrison over them. Watch them every second of the day, Lord. We are so blessed. We're so blessed by Pastor Sam and Lisa. We just release all the bitterness and anger and critical mind that we harbored against them and their family, Lord God, and all the pastoral staff. And we submit ourselves to them, Lord. And we just thank them and appreciate them so much. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Sam, while Stefan was speaking, I thought about, I don't know why, I kept thinking about you and the church building. And I just suddenly got a random job offer. It got shoved into me, actually. And I'm going to start next month. And I just wanted to give the salary that I'm going to get next month to the church, because the church has helped me grow a lot.
But don't be too happy, I don't make very much at all. But I know that God will multiply the funds, and I just wanted to thank you so much, both of you guys.
Now God took the bread and the flour and he multiplied that, and 5,000 men and their women and children ate. We just stay here a little bit, guys. We're just going to sing a blessing over them. I don't know if you know this song, Yes, We Love You With the Love of the Lord.
Let's sing these words. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. And we love you with the love of the Lord. And let's sing this all together to our pastor and his wife. And really love them with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. And we love you with the love of our Lord. Again, and we love you. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you. Yes, we bless. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of the Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of the Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of the Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Sing, we love you. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we bless you. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of the Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord. And we see in you the blessings of our Lord. Yes, we bless you with the blessings of our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes. We can continue to hug the pastor and his wife. But I know there's still many of us that want to give, and our time is running out. So what I'm going to do is different. You're going to go to the person just here in the hall. Just take your IOU or whatever it is to the person you want to give to, and pray quickly for one another, and then go to someone else. So don't leave. We're going to soon, because we have to go and eat soon. Okay, here's one for everybody. This one, is it on? Was it?
Okay. Hello? All right. I know you guys saw me embarrass myself yesterday here up on stage. So I believe that God blessed me with a talent that... He's happy about it. So I'm gonna give the entire church free dance classes. I'm gonna spend that time, and I'll send out an email to everybody. We'll take a poll on what classes you guys want to learn, and I'll teach you guys free.
If someone just come and pray for Chris, someone who loves dancing, two people, come and pray and thank him for that. Just go that side, a little bit away from me. Okay, is there still somebody else? It's not for one, it's for a group. You want to call or? Okay. Somebody want to give something, not just for individual, but for more? You can quickly come to the mic, but otherwise, go to the person you want to give to, and let's bless one another, pray for one another. Thank you, God, for your spirit of generosity, for your release coming.
All right, guys, I don't really know how to start this, but basically for me...
He's not going to give dance lessons.
No. All right, I'll tell you what.
You, bro.
All right, well, first of all, it's kind of like a little testimony, so to speak. Now, the biggest problem I've had in my life, I think someone mentioned it, like they've always put money before various things. And in my case, I've amassed so much in my life, a lot of things that I've bought, you know, just to make me happy. I've put a lot of, you know, idols and possessions in my life, and you know, that's so wrong. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, I think it was sometime just before the summer, if you go into my bedroom, there used to be about 10 computers and lots of LCD monitors and stuff in my, you know, in my room. You know, I amassed a lot of stuff, and I just felt really, really bad about it. I actually gave a huge portion of that stuff away to this this church. It's like a Nepalese church with someone, Patrick, but he's not actually here at the retreat, unfortunately. So I think, and also, this is actually a Nokia Express 5000, Express Music 5800. I actually have two of them. The thing is, I need to pray to see. I actually have a spare, so I need to kind of pray to see who I'm going to give my other one to. So I'll pray about it. But the thing is, I mean, and this really kind of goes to SP, like the SP people. I have this really big laptop that I spend quite a bit on it, but you know, I'd really like to give it to SP, you know, so you guys can have my really big laptop. It's pretty cool. So it's yours. You know, if you need a mobile phone, I can put that on top as well if you want it. The only catch is you have to unlock it yourself. Right, and if you use CSL or 123 or whatever, it should be okay. Otherwise, I can unlock it for you. I'll try my best. So, I don't have the laptop with me at the moment, but I'll bring it to the next service. So, all the best. Okay. Amen, brothers and sisters. All right.
There's just one gift I want to give, and that's the gift of time. And I want to bless this to all the families out there, because SV was my family. And so I want to bless all the families out there. So I just offered my babysitting skills to Pastor Sam and Lisa. And if any of the other families out there needs a babysitter or whatever, I would love to release their burden of that, and I would help them out to babysit. So spread that message around.
Hey, thank you. Who's criticizing me, by the way? I'm kind of curious. Hey, my wife and I were really blessed. Actually, you don't know how meaningful this hat is. When I went to Australia, went to the store with Lisa, and I wanted to get one of those Australian hats, and I tried it on. My wife said no and stuff. But yeah, I think this looks better, actually, right? So. Someone said, I just need a horse, right? I got a flag and a hat and in any case. But we're so thankful. Thank you. Actually, I don't really like hugging too much, so that was cool too. and things. So, we just wanted to, my wife and I wanted to just bless some people, and just really, we obviously appreciate everyone that's at church. And Lisa was praying, and Grace Chung, right? I think... my wife. So we just wanted to bless you, and I know you have ministry and all these things, and so this is just, you know, one time, but also I think Lisa felt like we should support you monthly as well and stuff, so we'll do that. And also for Godwin as well, right? So, you know, and God gave us a dollar figure, so we want to also support you monthly on top of that. And and this happened a few weeks ago, and I was praying, and I really felt something in my heart, and it was actually for the Donaldsons, and they're actually praying right now, but see, they're very spiritual. And I just wanted to just really bless you guys, and really appreciate you coming into our community, and you know, it's been a real blessing. And you know, Ethan's always brings a smile on my face whenever I see him, and You know, he's every Sunday I do benediction, actually, right? And I've always told you that's actually supposed to be the most meaningful part of the service, because the pastor actually officially blesses, you know. But the only person in this church has actually given me a benediction was actually Ethan. And so he'll come and he'll lay hands on me and says, "Pastor Sam, the Lord bless you and keep you." And, you know, it's very, very cute and stuff. And so, can you guys come? We just wanted to bless you guys with something. And, you know, and hopefully God will use it to, you know, do something in your family. And we want to pray for you guys. So Godwin and Grace, and why don't you guys come? And love you guys.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anybody else still want to give something publicly? Want to call somebody or do something? You can quickly come and do that.
This is my third time coming back to Nansha. And this place is such a... I came to work here. And I'm so blessed that we can multiply and see the fruit grow. And as we come into this journey, this one is impossible, it's possible. And I can see that it's such amazing to go through experience in life. And this is my 10th year, it's my anniversary 10th year. And from all the struggles and all the experiences, I realize God has given me a lot of knowledge and wisdoms. And being a parent, which I would become, I used to be really afraid to be that. So I'm announcing to you that publicly, my wife is pregnant, Monica, and giving a birth, and with this family, and the prayers that I felt it, and when I was alone, I just felt the whole family was with me. And I just want to share something with Yen. Someone very new in my life. I just known Yen from the house church, and when we were praying for you, Yen, and I was trying to look at miracles, because we're talking about being a parent. I wanted to release and be healed, and I really thank for this church for a lot of healing and a lot of wisdom, and God will use me in the leadership, and especially the words. I never realized that what I wrote down before I came here about wisdoms and knowledge, and to really be able to be a leader and using my talent. And this was exactly the first person coming up. And so there was a lot of message that was not something I planted in my seed. And Yen, I just feel something in here that through the periods of my life and experience and wisdom, I hope I can share with you. It's someone gave me something very precious to me, and it was a cross. And the cross, when I first received it, there was a lot of things in my life at that period. And this cross meant a lot to me, because it was a period where I thought a lot of things was impossible. I thought it was impossible. Honestly, I thought it was. But now I can see, wow, what a possibility. And I want to pass this cross to you. It's at home. And basically, it was given to me in a period of my life that was very precious. And as a brother, and I want you to be a leader. And I just felt, when I was praying for you, I felt that there was a leadership in you. And it was very strange that you came to Asia. You're Taiwanese. And I'm Taiwanese in the past. And we come from a different generation. But you're coming to a time where there's a wonderful opportunity and blessing coming to your path. And I pray that God would give you the signals and hold you together and bring a wonderful relationship to you. And most important, he'll give you the wisdom to know how to use that and to know how to touch others and multiply. And I feel that in you. As I was praying yesterday, I know that I was praying for healing for you, and I was praying because I believe in miracles. I believe that we have to believe first before we can move forward. And so I'm giving you my cross that was most precious to me in the period that I went through. And it basically says, all things are possible with God. And it was the most precious words that I had in my life. Thank you.
Amen. On death. Thank you guys for your openness this few days. I've got a few contact detail cards. So, if you want, I'll...
Yes.
Okay. I'll leave it here. But just also, thank you, Ferdi and Ingela, coming with us. And... yeah, God is putting something of His heart for me for this part of the world. My first time in China, and I believe this is not my last one. Love you all. I'll leave my contact detail cards here in the front if someone wants one.
Couple of announcements. I know some of you guys are on the 130 ferry and things, and so you probably need to start moving away. If you could, lunch is being served right there. We still have a few things of business, but if you're on that ferry, please go grab a quick lunch. You know, we already paid for it, so eat it. You know, and then you can go off. But we want to do two things before we leave. We wanted to pray for our friends from South Africa, and so can you guys make your way here? And just wanted to bless them. Our intercessor prayer team's been waiting to get their hands on you and stuff. So they can come. And also Jane and John, right? And the kids, right? Can you guys come as well? And we haven't really spent any time praying for Samuel and Joseph. And these guys are here the whole week, like I said. Some of you guys have already said, oh, I want to take them out. So if you still want to do that, just let me know. And then these guys are leaving Tuesday at midnight. Right, so tomorrow they have the whole day going, okay? And tonight we're taking them out to eat at Kaya, right? So we're going to get some Korean food. She really loves bulgogi, right? And stuff, so... yeah. You could probably get that here in China, right? But not in Hong Kong. And so... So we just want to bless them. And so tonight, if you want to come, the worship team, you guys are... invited to eat for free, right? So tonight, and if anyone else wants to come, pay yourself, and you know, you can come during that time. So Kaya and so Mike, can you call them up and make reservations for tonight, right? So okay, and so let's pray. And I think there was something specific, Jamie, you want to over the chungs?
We just felt to bless their family, and when people are giving away things, we feel to give one of their sons a guitar. And I think the issue for us is more that this kind of symbolic act may not be the thing that you particularly want to receive, but it's something that God has intended for you, and you may find that it's something that will lead to something else. So we just want to bless your family that you would find a place of worship in your own home that would be a strength and a help to you when you're in a difficult place. And so we would just like to pray over you about that.
Let's do that. Let's pray. We can come out of our seats, especially the prayer team. I know you have something to say. Okay.
Guys, just bear with me here. Here is so groot en wonderlik. Here, ons dankie dat hierdie mense hier gebring het. Hierdie seuns en dogters van u, Here. Here, u gebruik die vreemdes en die ongewoones, Here. Ons is, die kerk is glad nie hier aangewoond nie, Here. Daar is maar 3 Suid-Afrikaners in hierdie kerk, Here. Die ervarings wat Stefan gedeel het, is niet vir allemaal. Vader, die gebede is niet vir allemaal. Die accent is niet vir allemaal. En Vader, ons prys en loof u dat u hierdie ongewone goed bring. En het net daardoor is dit, mens kan net sien, dis net u, Here. Dis nie ons eie mag nie, ons eie woorde nie, maar alles van u, Here. So, Here, sien net hierdie families, die kinders, hulle werk, hulle vir die dokters uit die praktyke en YWAM en die basis en almal waarmee hulle in raking kom, Here. U is ons loof en prys, U Here. Ons dank U, Vader.
Thank you. Was that tongues or was that? Oh, that's the heavenly language. Okay. Why don't we come, IP team, why don't we come and lay hands on our friends and everyone stretch out your hands. And if you need to go to lunch, you can feel free to go over to the other side, right? Go start eating and do all these things. And just continue to pray for the Chungs as well and ask God just to really fill them. And they gave away so much during this time. You know, as a policy at church, we pay for our speakers to fly over here. But any guests that they bring, they're supposed to trust God for themselves. So Engla and Ferdy, they actually came on their own dime, in essence, just to bless us. But we already preempted that. We tell them, no, we take care of it and stuff. And so, but just that's just the heart, right? I just want to, you know, share that with you. So just really bless them. So let's just pour in. They've given us so much. And God's just been so wonderful through them. And it's wonderful having the Chungs here as well. So let's just bless and ask the Lord to just fill them up to even overflowing than what they gave out to us today. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much, God. We thank you for our friends, Lord. And Lord, you've used them in such amazing ways, God, throughout this time. And Lord, just continue to pour into them, God. And we just pray, God, Lord, increase the favor, increase the giftings, God. Lord, increase, Lord, just the manner, God, and the heart by which they move in you, Father. We thank you for them, God. Bless them, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much.